Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, Women in WP listeners. This is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, WP Remote. WP Remote is a dedicated care plan platform that will help fuel your agency's growth with maintenance care plans for your clients' websites. WP Remote provides an automated workflow for you to manage multiple sites from one central dashboard. With one-click updates, incremental backups, automated malware scans, firewall, uptime monitor, and more, WP Remote is created by the same great folks behind Blog Vault, Malcare, and Migrate Guru. Save time, increase your revenue, and make your clients happy by trying WP Remote today for free. Learn more at wpremote.com/womeninwp. And now, on to our show.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Apps.
I'm Allie Nimmons.
I'm Amanda
and our guest today. Our guest today is Amanda Gorman. Amanda is the customer success manager at Impress.org and GiveWP, as well as a freelance SEO consultant who also built and manages her yoga studio's WordPress website. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we like to start off our episodes by asking our guests how they got into WordPress. So how did you get started?
I got started almost 10 years ago because my parents owned several businesses at the time, a bar and a restaurant, and they were looking to start websites. And I was dabbling in that in Adobe Muse, of all things. And I knew Michelle Ames, Michelle Frechette now, and she introduced me to WordPress, and it changed my life. It allowed me to create those websites for my parents. And from there, I was able to show those as a kind of a template of what I could create for others in my community. So I ended up working with a lot of different businesses and trying to find a niche, trying to find what my specialty was, making a lot of mistakes along the way, but it's led me here now, building websites mostly just on the side and focusing my efforts in my SEO expertise, as well as my efforts at GiveWP, helping people raise money online.
That's awesome. So what is your, I know you're doing customer success at those organizations. So what do you do? What does that mean?
Yeah, so customer success is building, the way I like to represent it is that it's a bridge between the developers and the customers. So being able to communicate the customer's needs really effectively, understanding with a really empathetic approach of what the customers are actually looking for in a product. And specifically with GiveWP, it's what they're looking for to help their charities be more successful, to be more efficient in their efforts because they're working with a lot of volunteers and limited budgets and limited volunteer time where they have to actually implement something. Or if they do have bigger projects, they want to kind of be able to create something that's custom to their own unique needs that a lot of platforms out there are not serving, because there's a lot of opportunity for bigger organizations to put a lot of money into a software, but the smaller organizations are kind of left wondering how they can make their big events work, especially now in the age of online events being so predominant. So being able to communicate those needs to our developers is continuing to be really, really important and where I find a lot of value, because we're able to really bridge that gap, make things more clear as we are developing, and kind of maybe avoid some pitfalls. If we are looking at a new product, we can kind of be really privy to what customers have already asked about and be able to communicate with them with integrity and with as much knowledge as we can as those things are released as to, you know, what is going to actually work and what's not.
That's awesome. I, you know, being user experience design, that's pretty much what I do as well when it comes to product design. And it's so crucial. Like the people don't realize like how instrumental that position and that bridge between the audience and the product. It really is, that link is so crucial. How long have you been at GiveWP? How long have you been working there?
It'll be 3 years on March 1st.
Nice.
So how has it been that long?
I've been watching, because I remember Give many years ago. Even just in the time that you've been there, how have you seen the product grow and improve for your customers?
Yeah, so much. I mean, there's been so many big changes, and we're going to be seeing so many just this year. I know a lot is on deck for being rolled out, which I'm super excited for. But just this like ability to develop this department, watching Michelle develop this department specifically, and just being right underneath her and being able to be clued in on these conversations, it really has shown me how all the other departments can work together as well, and how we're all clued in and on that development piece. So I am definitely have witnessed this shift of, you know, maybe where development was kind of having a conversation just on their own. Now those channels are kind of being opened up more, where there more feedback is being requested from other departments, not just support of who's communicating with customers, but from the customer success department now, because we're having those phone calls where we're actually communicating with people that are brand new to the plugin, or that are agencies that are very highly experienced and wanting to do all sorts of crazy things. But those conversations are kind of a little more nuanced and give a little bit more context of where people's idea of what they want in the future is going. Maybe more than we would see in an email.
I wonder if you can, I know you just sort of teased like things that are coming up in the future. Is there anything that you can tell us about what we can expect to see out of GiveWP in the next year? So I know you can't probably give too much away, but like any hints, any small bits of info that you can give?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two big things, and they kind of tie together. And this is definitely communicated on our feedback system with GiveWP. This is going to be somewhere that you can see this progress happening on the web. So it's not too much of a secret, but peer-to-peer fundraising is definitely going to be on deck. I don't know the timeline for when that's going to be released, but I know that it is something that is in development and is being really focused on, because we get a lot of requests for that. And it's definitely going to open up ourselves to a lot of other opportunities for nonprofits that are looking to build those bigger campaigns. And sooner than that, I know that our donor experience is going to change a bit in terms of how donors are coming to a nonprofit's website and viewing their donation history and their actual account details, their name, their contact information that's associated with their donation records. That's going to get a whole new makeover. Currently, the donation history and subscription pages are separate. That's going to be all brought into one user experience. So I'm really excited to see that, because it's going to make things a lot more streamlined for donors coming to those websites, and for the administrators of those websites using GiveWP to understand how their donors are experiencing things on their website.
Yeah, I love to hear that, because I feel like a lot of product companies can get really caught up in like developing new things and like releasing new sparkly features. And I think it's really important sometimes for companies, not just GiveWP, but all product companies, to kind of look at the way that things are currently built and say, okay, is this as good as it could be? Maybe we should need to invest some time to go back and like make this better, rather than like just sort of saying, oh, well, this is perfect, we're gonna build new, better stuff on top of it. So I love hearing that there is new stuff coming with peer-to-peer, but also like revamping the existing kind of system to make it more streamlined. Like, I love that approach. I'm really glad to hear that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I used to
foundation.
Work. Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, full disclosure, I used to work with you at GiveWP. And so I know that product really well. And so I'm literally seeing in my head, like, oh, I understand the context of what you're talking about. And that's like, that's really exciting as someone who does know that product.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've only used it on a couple sites. I really have liked it, but I don't know it as well as either of you.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing, especially because I've done some work with, you know, nonprofit stuff, and not only just like freelance, but then I worked at an agency that focused mainly on nonprofits. I think, like, just as you were talking, I think a lot of times people don't realize how much there is when it comes to donations and how much more, how many more layers there are to like nonprofits and running on donations. I get, well, you just put a button on the website, you know, like it's so much more than that. And just as you're explaining, do you end up having to like educate people on that? Or is that just something that just ends up coming with because people come and say, oh, it has all these other features? Or is that something it's an education piece?
Yeah, it's so subjective because there's so many different types of people that are coming to GiveWP. Because of the nature of the product, it is really accessible for folks that are new to WordPress or that are very experienced. So I see kind of all of that range. But it's so true in that there's a lot of education that's happening. And luckily, because our website is so awesome with information and our blog is full of data and information and tips and tutorials, and those that are looking to get educated can get educated even before they come and schedule a demo with me or one of our other team members on the customer success team. But there are a lot of folks that are just like, oh, I heard of GiveWP because I searched it in Google and here we go, we're scheduling a demo. So I get both of those. And I love having both because the conversation can go in different ways with either of those types of people. So I do like the folks that are a little more researched because we can get into the nitty gritty of really developing some complex campaigns if that's the route they're taking. But I also love just getting people onboarded to just get a donation button up and running and they can see how powerful Give is in just a few short hours of getting set up.
You mentioned a little bit before about, you know, online events and things like that being a challenge. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that nonprofits are facing at the moment? Like what kind of things are you hearing people talk about as far as having to shift to like a COVID world?
I think budget is coming up a lot, and I'm grateful to talk to a lot of people that are still renewing their subscription with GiveWP because they do see the value in it. And they're knowing that by maintaining their forms, they're going to be maintaining that donation process and experience, which of course is crucial to their sustaining throughout this 2021 now. I definitely am seeing a lot of kind of maybe roadblocks of how they're going to shift from a event that they would do in person, what that looks like now online. There's a lot of creativity out there, and I've seen a lot of awesome use cases with the Give plugin, as well as with combined efforts with other plugins and streaming services, and just being able to combine different tools to create really unique events online or just really simple events. But I think that nonprofits maybe are a little discouraged at first before they can see what opportunities are available. So I'm glad that we have a lot of resources on our blog about that, about what those online events can look like. So it kind of opens up their mind to what is possible. Because I kind of think that some folks that I'm reaching are, oh, we're just not seeing very many donations right now. Oh, we're not able to run this event right now. And I'm hopeful to see more folks shifting or pivoting to what they can do versus what they can't do.
I love it. It's really easy to get caught up in the, I can't do this, I can't do that. I struggle with that myself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yoga studio. Do you still do yoga? You have a yoga
That's
studio?
The other hat.
Yeah, like I'm always fascinated, especially with multiple hats, because I wear multiple ones as well. So yeah. Like I'd love to shift and just hear more about that as well.
Yeah.
And if everybody could please take a moment to get into their favorite pose.
It says so tree pose.
This is the yoga breath, portion right? of the podcast. Just,
like, take a big deep breath with me. Nice big deep breath into the nose. Yeah, shifting hats. I've tried to wear one hat. It just doesn't work. I tried to pick like two hats. It doesn't work. Like I'm just a multifaceted person, as we all are, but especially in my career, I just can't pick. So I do own and co-own a yoga studio with three other women. So it's all four of us together, Now Yoga and Movement. It was a physical space here in Rochester, New York, but it moved virtual when the pandemic hit. A few short weeks after that, we lost our space I think it was 2 months after the pandemic started, just because we couldn't maintain the rent. Our space was only able to fit 10 people. So there was no way we were going to be able to social distance with classes and follow protocol. So we did have some outdoor classes last summer, which was great. Oh, nice. And I hope to do that again this year, you know, with everything that's going on. Hopefully that will be something we can do. But being an all virtual studio now has really, you know, presented its own challenges. I've utilized Give for our studio in some in-between time when we weren't charging anything for classes, for virtual classes, while people were kind of adjusting to the new norm. But now I'm happy to say that we are taking credits as normal, and we are treating our classes just as they were in person, because they are just as good.
Love it.
Yeah, I've had a number of yoga studio clients that I've helped, you know, move as much online as possible. And you know, they're making it work. It can't be easy. And I find myself frequently, and I'm sure a lot of people have found this during, if your job has not suffered because of COVID, the guilt, like I feel guilt because I haven't had to really pivot or do anything different. And, you know, my job has not changed at all, but I struggle with the fact that I know so many other people have.
Yeah, I feel really grateful that I do have my full-time gig at Give, because I don't have that super pressure on the yoga studio. I can still treat that as kind of a passion project as the other women of the studio. It's all kind of a side gig for us, which, you know, is good and bad, because it just has these other pressures outside of what our normal day-to-day is, just to maintain things. But that keeps me going with the yoga studio, definitely during these hard times, because I'm not putting that financial burden on it. And I'm very grateful for that privilege.
I just want to know how you do it. Like, you have your full-time job at Give, you're freelancing SEO, you have the yoga studio. I know that you recently, I guess not too recently, just had a new little person enter your life. I'm just amazed by how you are juggling all of these things so gracefully. Kudos to you.
Oh, gracefully. Yeah, so gracefully.
At least from the outside, it appears graceful.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I've definitely let some aspects go. I've definitely prioritized, you know, Give, of course, and the studio. And my SEO is there. It's just more, that's kind of, I've let it go a little bit this last year, because my baby, Ronan, is definitely that bigger hole in my life. That's the big gap that's been filled of my priorities, of what I thought was important. So he's kind of at that top there now. But yeah, that kind of shifts everything else down. And I've realized, you know, I can take on projects. I can say no to things more, way more than I ever used to. So, and I can be honest with myself and with my clients of, I can help you, but it's going to take me this period of time. You know, I'm going to need a lot of buffer. This is what I've got going on. It's not a full-time thing for me. And that's why I've shifted my SEO efforts specifically into just really education, keeping myself in the know of like what's on the up and up. Because I just find that super fascinating, and donating my time to nonprofits that I care about. Some of them I've met through Give, some of them are just local, and there are really few right now, just like maybe two or three that I'm kind of touching base with. And just kind of volunteering my time is working in that regard, because that takes a lot of that obligation off my plate, and they understand where I'm at until I'm at least ready to donate or to provide more paid services when life shifts again, as it will.
I like that, because I mean, that's it took me so many years to learn how to say no, and my career just got better because of it, just knowing our limits. And I know especially 2020 really just kind of forced us into our limits, because we just I did a talk on WordFest Live just, what was it, last week or something like that. Yeah. And so I did all this research about the brain chemistry, how our brain chemistry was changed basically from living in a constant trauma state as a shared community and to the world. So of course I'm thinking about that, like that especially us in the digital world, that we are still working and we're doing this, like, that is, it's taking a toll on us. And so getting that to, like, know this is my limits, because right now my brain is not supplying my prefrontal cortex with the resource it needs to be able to do this, I am worried about a bear eating me in the forest, you know, like, you know, that's how your brains work. So that's pretty, pretty great. So you've been doing all these different things. I feel the same. I do this. Do you feel like your stuff at Give helps with your yoga studio and obviously SEO and this, and how does that all, like, how have you just benefited from that kind of multitasking, but limiting it and focusing on what you need to?
Yeah, I'm always looking for the thread of how my different endeavors are connecting. And it sometimes is subtle and sometimes is not as obvious as other kind of, like, and that's why I've kind of put pressure on myself to, like, choose a hat, because it all seems so random. But it's not. It's just where my life has led me. It's just the different choices I've made to land where I am right now. And an example that comes to mind is that I was working at a law firm before Give, and this two seemed so seemingly different, but my customer service experience, talking on the phone, dealing with stressful situations, helping customers navigate situations that they're unfamiliar with, translated so well into being a customer success manager at Give in ways that I never would have understood at that time when I first made that transition and when Give gave me the opportunity. And I'm noticing those threads more and more, especially as time goes on and I'm establishing myself here, that I can use the tool of the plugin Give and my resources and all of the knowledge that I'm gaining there to help people in my community, in the yoga community specifically, just for folks that are maybe looking to fundraise or that are looking to support their yoga studio for whatever means that they might have, or I might notice something on Facebook that another studio's trying to create an event for. And I just kind of reach out and, like, make those connections. And those are really where the threads are, is the relationships that I'm building because of my skill set. And myself managing the studio's website presents a lot of opportunity as well, because others might ask us how we do certain things on the website or how we're shifting things with the virtual space. So there's just a lot of opportunity there that kind of crosses over.
And also just in practice, like, you know, I've done this. I, you know, it's more, instead of just learning the theory, like, you're putting it into actual practice and using it in life. I think that's really cool.
I think there's overlap in so many fields where people just don't realize that it exists. And your experience, like, learning, you know, it's not just about that specific niche. It's about the skills you use to manage all of those that in an end up parlaying into so many different fields. It's, everything's tangential. Is that a word?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my husband teaches fourth grade, and he always talks about the fact that, you know, people don't think about when you're in school and you're learning how to write or you're writing essays, you know, if you write an essay on the French Revolution, the point is not for you to memorize information about the French Revolution. The point is for you to learn how to write an essay and to make an argument and to do research and present that research in an intelligent way. But the emphasis is always on, like, well, what year did blah, 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 blah happen? And, you know, I think, yeah, once we're adults, it kind of hits us that, like, oh, a lot of the things, like, I write essays all day, every day. Like, what is SEO? Or a lot of on-page SEO is a lot of stuff you learn when you write essays, of, like, organizing information and citing sources and, you know, all these different things. And, like, I think once you realize that a lot of the stuff you've learned conceptually can be applied in the future, like, I think it makes things so much easier.
I agree. I find, you know, I was a teacher before I worked in WordPress, before I worked in web design. And I find that a lot of the skills that I use in my job now come from my time as a teacher.
Well, yeah. And the, you know, people were like, that always, this teaching gets such a bad rep. Like, it's like, oh, well, if you can't do it, then you teach. Well, no, if you're really good at it, you teach. And that affects so many things. Like, I can even imagine like yoga helping with customer service, you know, and like that being able to, because especially with technology, people are frustrated because they don't understand it. So the way, if you can teach and guide someone through that, like, you're going to succeed at whatever job you want to do.
Yeah, I was definitely going to speak to the yoga being just my own practice, and my teaching is definitely a foundation, a solid rock to stand on for anything else that I'm doing. Just that ability to be present with my needs, and I can then be a better person, a better communicator, a better coworker, a better just human all around in my day-to-day interactions. And I think we all find our ways towards that. You know, yoga just isn't just a physical practice. It's a practice that can show up in a multitude of ways. And I'm sure that everybody has their own ways of finding that. I know they do. So it's just that focus and that intention, it does help me. It brings me back to myself when I am facing a challenge with a challenging customer. And there is definitely, I know that you were probably feeling it as well, the tension out there, just with the frustration and the impatience and the assumption that like things are gonna go wrong. I think that's part of that trauma response of, I'm just gonna be prepared for the worst. So expecting that people aren't gonna help you or that you're at a loss before you even begin, that's definitely something, is a hurdle to work over, but you can't take it personally. On the other end of it, you know, as the customer support person, you've got to be responsive and not reactive.
Yeah. Any kind of little tidbits, like tools that you use that you can share with all of us to be more mindful and practice?
Yeah. I mean, I think the foundation, really, like, making sure you're taken care of. I always say first, like, drink water, eat food, move your body. Because I think especially as remote workers, we are not doing that enough. And I know for myself, I'm not doing it enough most often. If I'm not reminding myself or challenging myself to get up and move or take a break and actually chug that water that I poured for myself 2 hours ago. You know, just these little reminders of actually taking care of yourself. Maybe a post-it note or a journal entry that's nearby that you can just be reminded of what's important. So that foundation is, of course, key. But then when you're actually in a situation, maybe just grounding your feet down on the floor, maybe if they're like, you're short like me and they're not touching and you need to actually like ground down, or stand up and feel your weight on the floor. Lay on the floor. I love just going and laying on the floor. Being grounded though physically really helps me to be in this moment. And then obviously breathing as someone's talking. So listening, you're not like actively not listening to somebody as you're focusing on your breath, but you can do two things at the same time, right? So listen to what somebody's problem might be, especially if they like to share with you quite a bit of detail about what that issue is that they're experiencing, and try not to take any of it personally. And take it, maybe take like a breath or two or three before you actually say something back. Because I find that I tend to jump like, oh, I know the answer to that. Like, I can help you. Like, before like actually hearing what they're trying to communicate to me. And it might not just be that they want responded to right away. They want to share their pain or their frustration. They want to be heard in that first. And then they want the fix.
That's such good advice.
It is really good advice because I'm a fixer. I do that. I'm like, jump, I'm gonna, yep, nope, yeah, breathe.
I'm a fixer.
Yep,
definitely.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
So when you're doing your, when you're wearing your SEO hat, which I know you said you've kind of made that a smaller hat, but it, what kinds of projects are you working on with? Is there a specific niche you're trying to get in, you're working on, or are you, is it, just tell me more.
Yeah. I was working with a lot of local folks for a while, a lot of food trucks actually, because I have a friend that owns a food truck locally, and she kind of put me in touch with a lot of other food trucks in the area, and that kind of fizzled out over the last few years. But that's kind of where I was, kind of just in the food service industry. I was helping a lot of those folks with social and SEO efforts. And then I dabbled in some more wellness businesses as I got into the yoga studio about 3-4 years ago. So that really brought me into, like, I work with a life coach, and then I worked with another wellness business. So I love those kind of industries. And right now specifically, I'm trying to work with more nonprofits in the capacity that I have available, or just in, like, short-term projects to get them towards a specific goal, and then maybe looking towards a long-term process. But just kind of getting them to dip their toes into what an SEO process might look like so that I can teach them how to do it themselves. That's really where I've been going, because I don't necessarily want to be somebody's, like, go-to all the time, because I don't have the capacity for that, always feeding back and emailing back and forth. So I'd rather, if there's a volunteer on their team that wants to learn SEO, I want to teach them, I want to coach them, I want to guide them towards what their specific goals are. Because I find that a lot of folks want me to write their blogs, and they want me to do their content, and they want me to do all these things in their voice, but I don't know their brand. I don't know their voice. I'm not in it enough to do that for them. And they don't have the money to pay me to do that for them. So I would much rather teach somebody that's already on their team to do that successfully, because they know the brand really well.
Yeah, I find that a lot of times with SEO, people want you to, they want to ask a lot of questions and get all the information, and then they don't know, they won't take the next steps to actually putting that into practice on their own. Once they ask all the questions, then they want you to do it. And I always tell people, you know, I'm not an expert in your business. You know, you're an expert in your business, and it's your voice that people are going to respond to, not mine. But I haven't been able to find a lot of people that are willing to take it on their own.
Yeah. People, I feel like people think that SEO is like a pill they can take. Like, check, I did the SEO thing.
Yeah.
I'm on the Google. Like,
the Google.
So true. It really is. It's been a struggle for me to find somebody that does want to actually take that effort, because I have started those relationships quite a bit. Of folks that seem interested and maybe have a volunteer or somebody on their staff that does want to take the effort. But then I provide information like, you know, their keyword research, or I provide them with the rubric of what they would need to take the next steps of writing content. And then it just doesn't come to fruition. And you've got to budget for that, plan for it, if you really want it to be a priority.
I feel like a lot of people just get afraid of writing also, like sitting down and writing content. I mean, you hear of like professional authors who talk about sitting down in front of a blank document and like writing one sentence and like giving up, you know? So like, I can only imagine if you're, you know, a taco truck owner and suddenly someone's telling you like, okay, go back to 10th grade and write an essay about why your taco truck is awesome. It's like, I don't want to do that. I want to do taco truck stuff, you know? Right. So I feel like I can totally, I was always that nerd that loved writing essays. I would actually like write my friends' essays for them when I would finish mine, and I would do other people's assignments for them. Cause I like,
are you doing that for free or are you getting paid?
Yeah, no, I just thought it was fun. And I was bored my essay early. So I'd be like, yeah, I'll finish your essay for you, or I'll proofread it or whatever. So like, you know, I was always that person, but I definitely know that
you were a popular kid, weren't you? I
mean, define popular.
Trust me, I made websites for fun, so you know.
But yeah, I can only imagine if that's not your thing. You know, it's like if somebody gave me a crash course in PHP development, and then they were like, okay, here's a blank, document, write some code. It's like,
well, you know who's really nailed it though, are the recipe bloggers.
Don't even get me started, Amy. Don't even get
You cannot started. Just get to a recipe unless you read 1100 words on somebody's life story. But
and their purple yoga pants that they wore for the first time.
18 ads. Did you guys see did you all see the I tweeted like last week, I went to a recipe site and I could see one sentence of content on my phone and the entire rest of my screen was ads.
Wow.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
But at least many of them have put the jump to recipe button, which makes my life a lot easier.
And you don't want to hear about the stormy day that, you know, she couldn't find a parking spot at the Whole Foods. I mean, like,
some days I do, but you know, if I'm in the kitchen with a glass of wine and a skillet, I just need to get to the recipe.
Yeah, seriously.
Or what kills me is a lot of the recipes I follow are mommy vlogs, and I'm like, how do you have time for this when you have a billion kids? Like, I don't understand.
Seriously.
I had a friend like that, and she was a single mother, and like she would make these like elaborate dishes, and I was like, what, how do you do this? And then she was doing this like home improvement. She's like, here's me remodeling the kitchen. I'm like, where do you get this time? And but I thought it was great, because that, like, I've heard that with kids, they're like, oh well, they're picky eaters. I was a picky eater, but I wasn't given a lot of, you know, options and whatever. She was like, make these elaborate dishes, and she's like, this is what you're eating. And he would just like learn, and then he loved it. So like, and then he would then help cook, and like this kid, like cooking all these like organic quiches, and like, what? I want a kid to cook for me.
So now I need to, now I think we need to start the Women in WP recipe blog.
Oh God. Yeah.
Or it's just ingredients and steps and nothing else.
Yes.
Yes,
please. Actually, I have an app that does, it just strips the recipe
That's
portion.
That's awesome.
From the, because I really don't care about the purple yoga pants.
Mm-mm. Have you seen, there's this website, and it's, you know, language alert. What the fuck should I make for dinner?
.com?
Yes.
I need to it.
It just gives you a recipe, and then you have a choice of either saying, you know, yes, I want this, or no, I don't like this, and it gives you a different one. And what it's just all the garbage is gone.
What I really love are those sites where you can just put in like the 6 random items that you have in your pantry, and it'll give you a recipe that you can make with, like, in college. Oh man, that was.
You made recipes in college?
I mean, it was cheaper to cook than to eat out, so I would try to do like basic groceries, like, you know, rice, beans, you know, a thing this big of frozen chicken, and then be like, all right, I gotta figure this out.
I mean, like, I ate ramen and frozen chicken pot pies.
I did the same. I was like,
you remember like the 75 cent little frozen chicken pot pies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so for dinner I'm having crab and salmon cakes. Oh wait, that actually sounds really good.
Is that on what the fuck should I have for dinner.com?
I went to the Google and I found it.
On Twitter, there's my friend runs the account Pretentious Dish.
No, I haven't heard of that.
That's a really funny name, though.
Yeah, and it's. Oh. Yeah, I will. I think it's just Pretentious Dish, if I can spell it right.
This website.
So
is
there, while we're all looking up at taking a break to look at recipes, I wanted to ask Amanda, is there any specific like nonprofit that you want to just give a plug to that people should just really go take a look at?
That's a great question. Yoga for a Good Hood is a local nonprofit here in Rochester. I haven't worked with them specifically, but I donate to them and I love them, and they are providing free yoga or donated yoga training for disadvantaged communities here in Rochester. And Amani is one of the leader of Yoga for a Good Hood, and she also owns a yoga studio here in Rochester, and the work that she's doing in the community is absolutely incredible. And the programs that they're running is really amazing. They do virtual classes as well with their yoga teacher trainees. So the folks that are getting those program benefits are able to then teach virtually to anybody on the web now. So I think that that's really cool to be able to check out.
Nice.
We'll include that in the show notes.
That's much more useful than Pretentious Dish, where you can, like, deaf braised beer tartare, carrot essence.
Carrot essence.
Aruga. It's just basically a generator of names. Sweet corn, green tomato aioli.
I'm stuck on carrot essence. Is it like
the carrot
the
essence,
vibes of
leeches,
the carrots?
Leech something. I can't what even pronounce that? Half of the words.
I mean, if they're the carrots don't have a pure soul, you can't get their essence.
That's what I'm saying. You have to find like a pure carrot.
Only the purest carrots for this recipe.
Sounds like an episode of VeggieTales. They have to find like a pure carrot essence.
Yeah, those naughty carrots we are not cooking.
So off the rails. Amanda.
Like the Misfit Market carrots.
We need to focus. Can you give us an example of, like, you mentioned like nonprofits that have been doing really creative things with Give in light of the world falling apart. Can you give us an example of like a creative pivot that an organization has taken, or like a creative way that they've used to give that you hadn't seen before?
Yeah. We just did a Give Live about this one. It's Play to Fund. They're a website, playtofund.com. They do streamed live music events on their website, and they just allow creators to start a campaign on their website for free. And basically they put a date of when that event's going to be, when the live stream is going to happen, and then the recordings are all saved on the website as well. I believe the recordings are just through YouTube, but it's a really awesome platform that has incorporated a membership feature, as well as the GiveWP plugin for folks to donate while they're watching the show. Mm-hmm. So that was a really, really cool use case that came out of the pandemic.
Very cool.
Nice. I'll like, I actually, that's cool. That sounds like it'd be a really kind of cool platform. Because I used to do house concerts in my house, and then I would live stream them. And I just kind of put together, jury-rigged this like live streaming with a donate button, like a tip jar and that stuff. And that sounds much better than what I made.
They did a really great job. You know, it's really cool concept.
I love it.
That'll be in the show notes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Well, it's been wonderful having you join us today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah, so anywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is Amanda Gorman without the A. So Amanda, G-O-R-M-N. So that will be where you can find me there, on LinkedIn as well. And at GiveWP, you can find me at Amanda at GiveWP if you do want to learn more about the Give plugin.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. We would be honored if you subscribe to the show. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Finally, if you want to be on the show or know someone who would, visit our website at womeninwp.com. Until next time.